All right, everyone, time to talk about alligators and kittens. Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is Choose FI.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Guys, excited to hop back on the mics with you. And I think it's important to point out that Brad and I here in the studio, MK also joining us, we are here on Tuesday recording early in the day. And for those of you living inside the United States, you know that November 3rd, the date of this recording, is kind of a big day. There's a lot going on. And by the time you guys are hearing this just a few short days from now, you will have more information than we have currently. But I can say with absolute certainty that 40 to 50% of the population is going to be very happy with the outcome, and 40 to 50% of the population is going to be devastated by the outcome, regardless of the outcome. And it's just an important time for us just to take a step back and remember the alligators and the kittens. And so I thought we could start there, and I'll give this back to Brad. Brad, this is not our unique idea, but I know it's one that's become like a life philosophy for you, and it's one that really had a high impact with our community. Why don't you just break it down for our audience?
Yeah, that is certainly a blast from the past. So the happy philosopher was the doctor that we had on one of our very early episodes. And he talked about this concept of alligators and kittens. And it was basically around how he approached more or less his overall mental well-being in his life. He had been dealing with issues of overwhelm and anxiety that, you know, a lot of us face, frankly. And he talked about, how do I make my life better in terms of little steps? And what he looked at was, he looked at all of the negative influences in his life and called them alligators. And then he looked at all the things that made his life better, little and small, and termed them kittens. So his argument was, if you walk into a house and there are alligators roaming around and kittens, what are you going to focus on first? You're going to focus on getting rid of those alligators, right? So this is a kind of your hair is on fire situation. Like, you're focusing on the negative. Like, that's just a human bias. We focus on the negative. And how can you rid your life of those things? And then, and really only then, you can focus on, all right, what are those cute little kittens, right? And like, how do I add more of them? How do I focus more of my time and attention on them and make my life better? But really, the hair is on fire type situation is the alligators. And Jonathan, for me, it was a lot of news in my own life. For the last handful of years, I've pretty much cut out news almost entirely. Now, this doesn't mean that I walk around blissfully ignorant. You know, I'm still up on things. But I mean, I used to focus on watching the nightly news every night. I watched The Daily Show. I watch, you know, just even sports news, like things that I find so hard to believe in my own life right now. These were big parts of my life 5+ years ago. And I think this type of thinking has really helped me have just a better mental framework for life. So yeah, it's cool that you brought this back up. I love it. Alligators and kittens.
You know, I just think in a season like this, it's so easy to, even when you know that there's no reason to have a 24-hour news cycle on in your house. There's the point of the news, especially when it's 24-hour news, is not to inform you, but to hook you through the next commercial break. Breaking now. We just found out the results from a tiny little county inside of a county underneath a rock. We have it. Breaking right after this is to hook you through the next commercial break. It's good to know what's going on in the world. I'm not suggesting that anybody just stay in a perpetual state of being uninformed. You should know what's going on. You should understand your positions and why. That's not what we're saying here. But what we are saying is, there's no reason for you to be watching the news 24 hours a day, to have it on, to go to sleep to it, to wake up to it. That's a business model. It's highly profitable. This is the most profitable season for news companies. You don't need to be a part of that economic model. You can't help but be informed in this environment. It's coming at you from every single direction. There's no way to escape it. So figure out, you know, bob and weave. Get what you need and get out. Preserve your sanity. Control what you can control. And this is my point of encouragement. Regardless of the outcome, that again, Brad and I do not know right now. MK does not know right now. Regardless of the outcome, you will be in a better financial position 4 years from now because you're part of this community and you're taking action. Regardless of the outcome of this election, because you're actually taking the time to focus on, let me control what I can control. Let me focus on building a better life for myself and for my family. If you just take these small little wins, like the ones that we're going to share with you today, you're going to be in a happier place. You're going to have more bandwidth. You're going to be more certain of what it is that I can control and why it's so important just to spend more time there. I just want everybody, I know you're all probably thinking this, all of us are just kind of, we've been going 120 miles an hour in this country in particular, between COVID, this election cycle, all the controversy that's going on, just crazy things seem to happen every single week. And maybe just for a few of us, we can just take a deep breath. We can clear out some of the alligators in our life and we can focus on the space, just a little bit of bandwidth.
Yeah, it's funny. I just jotted that down, create that space. And that's what we think FI does, right? It enables you to create that little bit of space in every aspect of your life, maybe with how reactionary you are, maybe with how much money you have saved up and the options that it affords you. And to your point, it's that stoic thought of control what you can control. There's a lot within our circle of control and there's a lot outside of it. And to spend that time just worrying and ruminating on things that are outside of your control, it just doesn't seem like the most productive way to go about it. What do we do here at Choose FI? We think long-term, right? We try to focus on our community. We focus on happiness. We focus on being good human beings and good citizens, right? Like all these things, we focus on establishing our own wealth to help our family and our community. Like all of these things, these are all positive things. Those are all within your control. And I think that's what we would argue is that will make a better life. It'll make a better world. And I think that is a very hopeful and positive message.
So one interesting thing that we've commented on, but it just seems to have ratcheted up for various reasons, is market timing. Not just professional guessers, but suddenly all of us believing that we know what's going to happen with the stock market tied to an election outcome. Is this a harbinger of things to come? And I think it's important for us to point out that that's ridiculous. You have no idea. You have absolutely none. And I think we saw this in March and we saw it in April and May and June with everybody thinking they knew what COVID was going to do to, one, the economy, which was maybe a little bit more predictable, but then two, what that effect on the economy, how that would then trickle down to the stock market. And a lot of people taking different positions and making some and sometimes radical decisions on what to do with their investment portfolio based on this theoretical connection between the economy and the stock market. Whether or not that bore out or not, now we're seeing going to this election kind of that same thing. Oh, I think I know what's going to happen. Let me make some radical moves based on which way this election goes. MK, I know you are commenting to us offline. This is something that we're seeing not just on professional guessers on the internet, but really in your own social circle, in social media at large. This is just getting out of control.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything I've learned this year, it's that I have a lot of friends who are epidemiologists, constitutional lawyers, and market experts for stocks, because everybody has an opinion on, well, my candidate's definitely going to win and therefore the stock market's going to go up, or my candidate's definitely going to lose, you know, negative thoughts here. So I think the stock market's going to go down. So I need to be ready to buy. And it's just so interesting because we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. And I'm sure this could be said for every election. It feels like this one's so uncertain. You know, we can't predict what's going to happen. And obviously we're sitting here early Tuesday morning. We truly have no idea what's going to happen. But it's very interesting just to see different people saying what they're doing to get ready to push money into the market, or they're ready to take it out because they think it's going to surge. And you really just don't know. And I think that's why we always go back to, you have a plan. You have that automated. This is the day that the money goes into the account. This is the day that I make the purchases, whether you're dollar cost averaging or you just have that set. And even for myself, so we're in Q4 for the year. I have a solo 401k. So I contribute quarterly to that. I could do it all at once, but I prefer to do it quarterly. And so my cash hit my Fidelity account last week. And I was like, okay, you know, Jason, let's look at our assets. So, you know, how do we want to balance this? Which one do we want to put this in? And he was like, well, maybe wait till next week. I was like, all right. And then there was a dip on Wednesday. And I was like, I'm just going to buy this dip. It could be a bigger dip next week. I don't care. But you know what? My money's already made more money for me. So I'm glad that I bought that dip last week because it just happened to be there. And maybe I will look like a fool if there's a huge dip tomorrow and I could have gotten a better deal. But maybe I'll look like a genius. So 50-50 chance I'm going to look real smart tomorrow or Friday when this airs.
Hey, this is Andrew from the Choose FI team. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're going to get right back to it after these quick messages.
And MK, you said in there, it's uncertain, right? Yeah. We truly don't know. And I think that is the most important thing to focus on here. Like nobody knows. You can't know over a short term. The market is unpredictable and it's just a fool's errand to try to time it and to try to time it. Really, you have to get it right twice in most cases, right? Like you've got to get the buy and the sell or the sell and the buy, however you want to look at it, right? And it's hard enough to get it right once if you're just using some random information that you think you're a genius, that you are reading the tea leaves properly, but to get it twice, oh man, that is almost impossible. And this goes back to what I just said probably 3 minutes ago about long-term thinking. We in the FI community, we don't look at quarterly earnings. We're not looking at, oh, what happened over the last year or what's the Morningstar rating over the last 5 years, right? Like it's what is going to help me get to the wealthiest point in 30 to 50 plus years. That's what the game is here. And what are the decisions that are going to give me the highest probability of success over that time period? That is what I look at. And I think that is the game that we're playing. And I think that's really important, especially in times of uncertainty and high anxiety and high emotion, is to remember that it's not short term. It is truly long term and it has to be.
Absolutely. With the long-term thinking, that's where it's really great when times aren't in crisis, when you're not trying to speculate of what big event is going on in the world, write down that investor policy statement for yourself, for your household. You know, Jason and I have done this, and there have been times where we fall prey to, you know, this is going on, this is crazy. You know, everybody we know is saying this or hearing this, what should we do? And I usually try to be the level-headed one who's like, well, what does our policy statement say? And sometimes I'm the one who's like, I don't know, we should pull everything from the market. And he's like, what does our policy statement say? So it is nice to know that in a time of calm and a time of really solid deliberation that we wrote that down, because of course, if we could make quick money on the market going down, of course we would want to do that, but there's no guarantee. And having that investor policy statement for our household has really helped us to not be reactionary, not to make rash decisions that could hurt us financially. So that's always something I like to go back to. If you think you've been susceptible to some of the headlines, maybe just take a day away and write that down. So, you know, no matter what happens, you know what you're going to do, what your plan is.
And I think if you tie that to what we saw, really, I mean, we had a lesson in this just within the last 6 to 7 months. I mean, if you go back to March 20th, so February, we had this peak. It was the high, you know, that was the high watermark basically for the stock market. Brad, I always refer to the total stock market. I know your language, for whatever reason, since you don't personally invest in it, is the Dow. So I'm going to use the Dow numbers. That way I don't explode your brain here.
Thanks, bud.
In a vacuum, though.
Yeah, everyone, I don't know why I use the Dow.
No, you don't even have to have a dime in it.
Weird bias.
He's like, that's what you do when you read the papers. You use the Dow. For the rest of us.
Alligators and kids.
For the rest of us, we're kind of interested where most of our money is. And most of us are in a total stock market index fund. So my bias would be that, but. Brad, for you, we're going to use the Dow. Anyways, using the Dow numbers, in February, the Dow hit a high somewhere right around 29,500. And obviously, those of you that have had a pulse for the last 7-8 months know between February and March 20th was pretty rough. And there were a lot of prognosticators, professional prognosticators, telling us that it was going to go to zero, that this was it, this was the end. But in fact, it had, what, Brad, close to a 20-30% drop going all the way down to the bottom in the around March 20th of 18,500-ish, somewhere in that range. Plenty of people thought it was going to go down way more. In fact, I wish I could get you guys to help me with this. I started taking screenshots of every single prediction that I started seeing in mid-February to March. Everybody basically saying, again, I have to look, I use VTI personally. So everybody saying it was going to go down to, you know, 1500, whatever. Now we're mixing numbers, so it doesn't mean it much. But they were saying it was going to get far worse. This was just, and then it just went up from there. It recovered about 30 to 40% of its gains within about 2 to 3 months. And at that point, there was another wave of professional guessers on all the major blogs and websites and financial forums and everything. Not to pick anyone out, but they were everywhere telling us what was going to happen next. Is this a V recovery? Is this a W recovery? This is just a head fake. It's a dead cat bounce. It's going down even farther. We had individuals that in February said bad things are coming and took all their money out. And then in March said, oh yeah, it's just getting worse. I'm waiting until, you know, like this is just, we're going to come back. The problem with these types of guesses is you, like Brad, you said this earlier, you have to be right twice. And nobody expected that because the economy wasn't getting better. COVID wasn't going away. Everything was still shut down, but suddenly the economy's doing better. Well, we weren't expecting that the government was going to inject a ton of money into the economy. No one could have predicted how much and how fast they would react with the stimulus. That's the point. You have no idea. There are way too many variables for you to account for with your simplistic, I think the market is going to do this, because it doesn't work like that. The stock market and the economy can stay disassociated longer than you can stay solvent. That's the key here. And you know what the problem is? Like, these screenshots are the only proof that I have right now of all these geniuses who spend their full lives dedicated to figuring out what the stock market is going to do next and then sell clicks and page views and everything else around those opinions. This is all they do for a living. They are wrong more than 50% of the time. What possible chance do you have as an individual that saw something on Facebook or felt an anxiety in your gut? What chance do you have of making your investment decisions around emotion enough to stay solvent or long-term or outperform the market over the long-term? Brad, little tidal wave rant here. I'll give it back to you.
No, that was good. And I mean, the answer is you have essentially no chance, right? There's no way, because again, even if you try to apply logic or what you think of as logic, like I could have come up with any type of logical argument, if you will, in March. And there's no way that I could have predicted that on September 2nd, the Dow would have been back up to 29,100, right? So that just proves, but you know, that's one of many, many, many examples, obviously, that proves you cannot possibly know. You cannot time this, and you can't just watch cable news and think you're going to learn enough to figure it out, to come up with the secret inside the secret. It simply doesn't work that way. So again, this is not about us kind of ranting about cable news or anything like that. It goes back to the beginning, right? It's alligators and kittens. Those news cycles are there to just cause anxiety. They're there to keep you hooked. They're there to come up with some type of neurochemicals that you want to be back. You need to be back at the end of that commercial break. And that is not something that is going to lead to long-term financial success. It's just not. Jonathan, we talk about this all the time here. Like, in our opinion, and everything that we've seen, the highest likelihood of long-term financial success is to control the expenses on our investments. And that's why we highly, highly recommend, for our own lives, obviously, low-cost index funds. We think everything we've ever seen suggests that, again, when you have that timeline, not of day trading or quarters or what happened last year, but 30 to 50 years, the highest likelihood of success is to lower your expenses, and therefore low-cost index funds are going to be your best bet. So that is what helps me sleep at night, because I don't worry about those alligators anymore. I don't have to focus my very limited mental bandwidth on things that are well outside of my control.
And everybody listening to this is thinking, well, that was fine for COVID, but now at this election, I just got a windfall. I have $5,000. I have $10,000. I have $100,000. But like, wouldn't it be safer for me this time just to wait to see what happens, you know, before I invest any money? Wouldn't it just be safer? And my point is, that's exactly where we were back in February. That's where we always are. You don't know what's going to happen until it actually happens. And because you can't make an investing plan around that, how many of you right now wish that you could take your $10,000, your $5,000, your $100,000 and invest it 2 or 3 months ago and catch that ride up? And the only way that you would maybe regret this choice if right after next week it went down, but that's only with a short-term mindset because you're worried about what it's going to do the next day. How many of us wish that we could go back and get our money in 2 to 3 months ago? Get our money in 4 months ago. I would even go so far as to say that if you had $100,000 and you invested like as far back as in like January or December, there would be a peace of mind of knowing that money's already in and now your new money is investing. It's simple for us. Those of us that just say we're going to get our money in the market, we're going to follow our investor policy statement and we're going to invest new money just as we can, we get to benefit from dollar cost averaging. When you are just sitting on a pile of cash because you're waiting for this perfect moment, the anxiety that comes with that is too much responsibility. And yes, if you only had a 1-year mindset, a 6-month mindset, a 3-year mindset, like I could see how whatever happens next month would be a really big deal. But if you're a long-term buy and hold investor, even from the last year, we can see time in the market is way more powerful than timing. Let's get our money in the market as quickly as possible. That way we can move to a dollar cost averaging strategy. And as soon as you're able to move from, let me drop my windfall all on the perfect day to, I'm going to buy when it's going up, being excited that all my money that's in currently is going up right along with it. And I'm going to buy when the market goes down, being excited that my dollars are going farther. Dollar cost averaging, hear me on this, very important. It is a mathematically guaranteed way to get a better average share price. A mathematically guaranteed way to get a better than average share price. So we need to get to a point where we can be dollar cost averaging. And if you are waiting, just like all your friends on social media, for it to hit a certain dip, the market is going to stay disassociated with the economy longer than you can stay solvent. And you're going to look back with regret. Just get in, get on this path, trust the process. It's a process that's been proven out over 100 years. 100 years. You can do this. Simplicity works to your benefit. And now we'll focus on all the other things, right? We'll focus on earning more. We'll focus on spending less. We'll focus on what do we do with all of our increasing levels of free time? What do we do with that increased cash flow? All the fun things. And Brad, we're saying this and we've been saying this for a long time. And there's individuals that have done way more work on this than we have that have just really advanced the body of knowledge around this idea. And I think maybe it's time like to go back and highlight that again. J.L. Collins, author of The Stock Series and the author of The Simple Path to Wealth. Really an amazing book. Do you have your copy yet? Pick it up. Get it as a gift for a friend, family member for Christmas. Like it's a life-changing book. You should read it. We had him on the show back in episode 19. And I think as good as that episode is and how everybody should go watch it, I think we need to reach out to him and ask him if he wants to come back on the show and just I think people need to hear it. It's one of those that you're never done with because you need a reminder. And there's always that nagging doubt. Well, does it still work now? Because we've had COVID plus we got this uncertain election and all the news is saying it's all over. Does it still work now? What do you think, man? Should we ask Jim to come back on the show?
Yeah, I think that would be amazing. We've been talking about back to basics here, right? And yeah, it's hard to believe that was almost 4 years ago that Jim was on for the first time talking about The Stock Series and The Simple Path to Wealth. So yeah, I think we're going to make that happen for sure.
All right, Jim, sending you an email. It's coming. All right. So, you know, I wanted to point out that there are people that are actually creating the space every single day. It's so easy to get bogged down in the macro of what's going on in society and miss the fact that every single day, people in this community are reclaiming their time, they're reclaiming their autonomy, they're creating space to really lean into, you know, this next adventure, this next inflection point. Patty in the group shared with us, today made our last payment of our 5-year commitment to pay off over $40,000 in credit card debt. It is gone, gone, never to be again. Student loans got paid off last year. Car will be paid off come April. We are slowly getting there. That's not the word. Slowly isn't the word that comes to mind, Brad.
That's amazing. Holy cow. Yeah, I just love seeing these wins come in. And yeah, I had one in response to my Phi Weekly from Joe. And he said, my wife and I are both teachers. So this past year has been anything but normal for us. There are a lot of factors that we can control, but getting our financial goals and plan in place is something that we can control and work on together. Two big wins for us in the past month. First, after about 2 months of paperwork, phone calls, and emails, we were able to transfer my 403B from a high fee broker to Vanguard. Talk about a weight off our shoulders, knowing that we are now in low-cost index funds and not paying fees for a bunch of, quote, perks with our old company that we never used. Our second win is making our first serious credit card rewards program move. We've always been good about using our 5% cashback categories and paying off our credit cards in full every month. But there is something about getting your first Chase Sapphire preferred card that makes you feel like you've taken it to the next level. Hope you and the entire team are doing well. Thanks for all the actionable tips and information you put out. More importantly, though, thank you for continuing to be a source of positive change by highlighting positive stories and encouraging everyone in the community, no matter what stage of life they're in or what path their life has taken them down so far.
He's not wrong about the Chase card, dude. Like, I remember when I got it for the first time, the branding team there, everybody else was doing these little plastic cards. Like, this little sheave of aluminum metal suddenly shows up. I mean, by itself, I admit that's probably a little bit of a vanity thing. Hey, check out this piece of aluminum I'm carrying around in my pocket. But when combined with the 2 or 3 free trips that I got out of there, probably the $2,000 worth of value that I got from that card, that metal represented something more. it represented someone that had just leveled up their own personal game.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, right? Like, it does feel like you're just making moves. And it's cool that Joe and his wife felt that way. And actually, Jonathan, now that I'm seeing this email, we should mention, so this podcast is going out November 6th. And Chase actually just put out a last call for what I think is the highest bonus ever on this card. It's 80,000 Chase Ultimate Rewards points when you spend $4,000 in the first 3 months. There is a $95 annual fee, but the last call on this is actually November 8th, so only 2 days from now. Wow. So if you're hearing this and you've contemplated getting the Sapphire Preferred card, now is the time. This is the best offer I've ever seen. This card is our number one recommended card, even when it has a lower offer. This is kind of a no-brainer. So yeah, if you want more info, go to choosefi.com/CSP. That's CSP for Chase Sapphire Preferred. So yeah, Jonathan, this is a card I've got in my wallet, have had in my wallet for the last 5 years.
And I should add on to that, that Joe was talking about his 403B. And when we talk about 403Bs, what you need to understand is teachers disproportionately are the ones that are using these 403B plans as opposed to the 401K that many of us are familiar with. And these 403Bs, in many cases, are laden with really, really bad fees. Really bad fees. And it's actually much harder for them to find a plan that has less egregious options. This is where they find themselves. They're kind of trapped in, do I want to take advantage of the tax benefits that come with investing in a pre-tax bucket? But, oh, by the way, this plan only has really high-cost, fee-laden, commission-laden products inside of it and under the shell of annuity products, et cetera. This is a movement that you can and should be a part of. We featured an episode, and we'll get the number for you, but it was with Nancy Bockety. She has a website called Fix My 403B. It was episode 220 of our show. If you're a teacher or know a teacher, you should have them listen to that. We're following up in the coming months with another episode with Dan Otter. And he has a website that started close to 20 years ago, which he's been doing the work, putting the time in. And really only now are they starting to get the traction that you would hope for. You know, it's one of those overnight changes, 20 years in the making. That's kind of where we are in this journey. And we want to help him, give him visibility. And really what that actually looks like practically is it's a grassroots movement of teachers that are aware, that are reaching out, connecting, saying, how can I help? So we'll have that episode coming, and we're going to try to work with them just to make sure you should not be a teacher in this country that's interested in doing better financially, not be aware of this. Because if you're not aware of it, it's going to cost you a crazy amount of money. It's not just limited to 403Bs. It's just that they have less options than 401Ks. With 401Ks, you have to be careful of this as well. I mean, I was just seeing, we got this message from Crystal saying, the more I read, the more I realize the money we've been flooding into investments via Edward Jones was likely a mistake. We had no idea about fees at the time. Now that I'm educating myself, I keep reading this as a ripoff. To be honest, our investments haven't really done much the past 5 years or so they've been there. This is crazy because this is retrospective. The last 5 years have been bonkers. They've been incredible returns the last 5 years. So for you to say, I'm investing for my retirement, and nothing has happened, I've just gone sideways, that's one of two things. You are not invested in just a index fund. You're not in a strategy that's allowing you to keep up with the market. Or two, you're getting crushed by fees. That's it. You know, we don't know what will happen with the market over any period of time. We know what the market has done over any 40-year stretch. And that gives us a lot of confidence. But over the last 5 years, we certainly know what the market has done. And if you're investing for retirement and your numbers have gone sideways over the last 5 years, someone should be accountable for that, because you could have done far better just yourself following a very simple strategy that we always talk about on this show. So Crystal says, and Brad, I'm going to give this back to you. Does anyone know exactly how to find these fees I'm being charged? It seems so hidden. Imagine that. I don't know why the money's going sideways. Everybody else is showing their charts up and to the right. Mine is just going sideways. And I think we pay this person a lot of money. They got a great office. We go in there like, what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it's not altogether easy in all cases. In a perfect world, what I've seen, so in fairness to the last company that I worked for, their 401k was fantastic. They had low-cost index funds. They made it very, very clear what the expenses were. Though I say very clear probably to me, so I might be somewhat biased, but basically what I was able to do was log into the company, I think it was Fidelity at that time, that was the umbrella organization, if you will, that had this 401k. And I was able to click and see my investment options. And they all were down in a straight list. So it was, you know, whatever, 30 or 40 funds. And one of the columns in the table was expenses. And now if you're not, like, you might see it as expense ratio, you might see it as expenses or expense percentage or something. Usually expense ratio is what you're going to see, but you're basically looking for some column of numbers that are either like from maybe 1.50 down to something as low as 0.02 or 0.03 or some such. So if you found a column, I would say in general terms that looks like that, then in all likelihood, you've probably found what you're looking for. So now I would say that's probably best case scenario, where it's all laid out in one table. You can see it clear as day and you can see what your investment options are at a glance. Now down to probably maybe one of the worst case scenarios would be you're just given a fund name and then you have to track down what the ticker symbol is. And you have to go to Google or Yahoo Finance or whatever it may be, put in that ticker symbol, and then do your own research. It should be very simple once you've found the ticker symbol to find that expense ratio. But that's going to take a lot of individual legwork on X number of funds that are in that 401k. So Jonathan, it probably, I would think most scenarios fall somewhere at those extremes or in the middle, right? That seems like a pretty decent range of what you'd expect to see.
Yeah, I mean, you could also, if you have a guy or gal, you could just ask them, what are my fees exactly? You know, like, you're actually paying this person. They should probably be able to tell you what your fees are and what.
Well, I was thinking 401k wise as opposed to, hey, I've got a financial advisor.
I mean, what you said is actually accurate. I really don't want to call a person, which is actually the entire point. Like, if I'm afraid to have an interaction because I don't want to like have them worry that I'm taking my money out or I'm trying to get more informed. Yeah, that's the entire point. If you don't feel comfortable, you feel like they're hiding stuff from you, you don't want to have a conversation with them because you feel like it might not be in their best interest. It might not be. So maybe we need to get out of the way sooner because our plan is simple. It does not require a super complex person to help us into low returns. We're just going to try and keep up with the market. And that's a very simple strategy. It's easy to follow, easy to implement. You know, if your investments are going sideways, one is like all of us, part of your investor policy statement, you should probably know what you're invested in. If it's very complicated, it's probably costing you a lot of money. Are you in actively managed funds or are you in index funds? So Brad, you talked about this, you know, what are you in? You look for that sheet on the side there. With my wife's fund, I know she had access to several options. What I basically did is you could separate out the fund head options to some index funds and then some actively managed funds. And they were kind of broken up into those two categories. The actively managed funds, there were a lot more options, but you could see immediately that the expense ratios, the fees were a lot higher for those. And that makes sense. And actively managed funds means you have a person or persons or team making decisions on what funds to buy, when to get in, when to get out. And that actually poses another, so you have to pay them for, you know, their time and what they're actually doing. And then actually them getting in and out of positions costs money because there's tax consequences for that. So they're saying, yes, you're paying us this fee, but likely, you know, our goal is to do better than the market. So that's why we're worth it. That's the theoretical case. It is not borne out by any of the data. And so if you're like, well, you can't even keep up with the market anyways, I'll just keep up with the market and pay less because it's just a computer that basically says, here's what the market's doing. Let's just replicate that position and stay there. That's all an index fund is. Long-term buy and hold index fund. Super simple. You don't need a team of people to make really, really smart decisions, quote unquote. You just keep up with the market. My wife's expense ratios on the index fund were like 80, 90% lower. So we're talking 0.1% as opposed to 0.5% or 1%. I mean, it's just unbelievable. That is direct savings that you're getting. These are really big numbers because they compound and they add up over time. I know 0.1% doesn't like blow any of your mind. The difference between 0.1% and 1% is tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars over your investing lifetime.
Yeah, Jonathan, you could not have set me up for this better because while you were saying that, I'm furiously like typing in to find this old article that I wrote years ago on my website, richmondsavers.com. It was almost exactly what you set up. So the assumptions here are a little bit off of what we consider now normal at Choose a Vibe, but just bear with me because I think it's illustrative nonetheless. So in this scenario, I basically said, all right, you are 30 years old. You're following the path to FI. You've got 100 grand saved up. You're able to put away $1,000 monthly. So $12,000 a year. I think that's very reasonable for someone on the path to FI. The part that I probably got wrong was I assumed a 9% gross market return, excluding fees. I think that's a bit aggressive and I would do it again if I could, certainly, but let's just go with it for now. So again, $100,000 now, invest $1,000 a month for 40 years. So with that 9% return, at your balance at year 40 would be about $7.2 million.
Wow.
So $7,200,000. if you then invested that in something ultra low fee, so 0.05% at the time, that's what Vanguard's VTSAX was, you would have only lost 100 grand to fees. Now, compounded over 40 years, that's really not very much. But if you invested in just a typical mutual fund with a 1% expense ratio, now that sounds like nothing, right? Oh, it's just 1%. Who cares, right? But it compounds, to your point. You would have lost almost $2 million.
Oh my goodness.
$2 million. If you said, okay, I can do this on my own, but I'm going to pick this, you know, this fancy mutual fund, right? Like, you're not even having an investment advisor. You're just trying to pick an actively managed fund. Your balance would have went from 7.2 million down to 5.3. All right. Now, just the last thing is, if you then doubled down and you said, you know what, I'm going to get that financial advisor and he or she is going to put me in this fancy fund. So you lost 2%, right? Each year. So you have a 7% return. You would have lost $3.3 million. Almost half of your entire net worth would have been lost just for making that decision to go with the financial advisor who put you in that actively managed fund that, in all likelihood, there's no reason to believe that that actively managed fund over 40 years is going to outperform the market at all. And then you have the fees. So that's even assuming the exact same return. I think that's highly unlikely. So I suspect the amount lost would be more than that. But anyway, again, we're talking about back to basics. We talk about long-term thinking. This is as critical a decision as you can possibly make, is low-cost, broad-based index funds.
Yeah. I mean, that's it right there. You want to know, like, what are my fees? Where are these fees coming from? And yeah, you're asking them to tell you, but you're also checking behind them because you don't totally, you want to make sure they're just not telling you something, right? Which is a bad sign to begin with. And then what am I actually in? So Brad said low-cost, broad-based index fund. You heard us talking about like the total stock market index fund earlier. We just want to try to keep track of the market. This is kind of a point of distinction because if your investment plan looks really complicated, why? Why? Like, for instance, let me give an example. You're in like a target date fund because you're planning on retiring in, you know, 10 or 15 years, something like that. Maybe one reason you're not getting the returns that you would expect is because that target date fund is too conservative for you by far. Maybe it's got you in 50, 60% bonds inside of it and it's adjusting to more and more bonds as you go. Or maybe you've got this portfolio that's a combination of actively managed funds plus maybe some annuity products for fixed income and stability and all these other things. And it's just, well, you need all this to handle any possible variability. These can get very, very expensive. So like, simplicity is your guiding light here. And then your timeline is your guiding light. So we're not going to end the conversation here. This is just to get you thinking about, what am I invested in and how much is this costing me? This really isn't a conversation about how conservative or aggressive your portfolio is. We'll defer that for another day. Listen to episode 19 of our podcast for more information in the meantime. But we're going to try and get JL Collins back on the show as well. All right, everyone. So real quick announcement. The website is now live. It looks amazing. I'm really excited for you guys to be able to experience it. Go to choosefi.com/start or just choosefi.com, poke around. And let me actually ask you for a favor. So first and foremost, like, whenever you're doing a big aggressive website relaunch with a bunch of new features, there will be little tiny things that need to get fixed. Like, for instance, on a few of the episodes, the podcast player is not visible. We're aggressively working on getting that fixed. So we are aware of that. That'll be up and live over the next couple of weeks. But if there's something else that you need access to and it's not working for whatever reason, just let us know. You can actually help us. We created this website to be a great experience for you. We believe it is already 3,000 times better than anything we've ever had in the past. And we're going to keep making it better. So if you have something, you know, you're looking for something, you're having trouble finding it, or something that's not working, just send us a message, give us your feedback. We'd love to know, is this a better experience for you? And how can we build on top of it? This website is intended to be basically a central point for all the resources that we've aggregated up to this period in time, and just give you a way of finding them very easily, very easily. So Brad, anything else you want to add on that? I know this has been a labor of love that you've been leaning into along with Liz and the team for the past 3 months now, 3-4 months. I mean, I know it's been going on longer than that, but you really started leaning in about 3 months ago. And I know the relief I'm seeing on your face that you're past this weekend is a big deal.
Yeah, this has been a big deal for us. And yeah, just a huge thank you to the entire team for quite literally thousands of person hours that went into creating this. And the entire concept was, as you said, it's to produce something that's really high quality for the community. Something that if you're looking for information, you can find it, you can share it, right? Like, this, that's what we always talk about. We talk about making this community stronger, more vibrant, bigger, able to share it with family, friends, colleagues. And yeah, I just want to thank personally Liz, our lead designer on the website. I mean, the Herculean effort that she put in on this is almost hard to describe. And the entire team, Giada, William, Annie, MK, Stephen, Melissa, Kelly, and the whole group. I mean, the amount of work that was put into this is, it's really hard to imagine, honestly. So yeah, we're just really, really happy. So like Jonathan said, check out chooseify.com. Let us know what you think. Send us an email to feedback@chooseify.com with good, bad, ugly, something that's not working. Like, we know we've got a long punch list of things that we need to get updated, but yeah, we really wanted to bring this thing live.
All right, another announcement is the Simple Startup is going to be opening for the next class here in the coming weeks. MK will have all the details, but just for context, this is something that Rob Phelan, who's been on the show, leaned into with his workbook, The Simple Startup, but then paired it with this course series. Our community dove in a big way. Parents had their kids enrolling between the ages of 10 and 18, and the feedback on this, I mean, guys, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. We've actually gotten a chance to talk to some of the parents, and they said their kids' mindset, they saw them level up in front of their eyes. If you want to get your kids off the video games and give them skill sets that will translate to this future that we're all living into right now, you want to future-proof their life and give them the skills, you know, before they get to college, before all, right now, you can give them the skills that allow them to leverage into any industry. This will be the most valuable thing that you can do for them. And recognizing that, Rob has really leaned in and figured out a way to actually be able to offer this year round, basically broken up into cohorts where we do a class, it runs for a period of time, and then the next class is available. It just keeps getting better and better. There's kids that have gone through once and say they want to go through again. That's the type of feedback that they're getting, just to keep working with them, keep building these ideas out. And I just wanted to let you guys know, for those of the parents, you know, for parents, you're looking for something. You know you need some help right now. You know your kids need something, and you need the ability to work with them, but also have a trusted resource to help kind of guide their efforts and their actions towards building this skill set. This is with you in mind. And I can't imagine a more prescient time than right now. So MK, what are the details on the next open enrollment for the Simple Startup?
Yes. So the next session will start on January 18th and it'll run through April 2nd. So there's a current class that's going on right now. It'll run through this academic term, but then the next one will start January 18th. So you can register starting right now, if you're listening to this, through January 8th or until it sells out. We do cap it. So that way every student's getting a unique perspective, and we've sold out for every time we've done this. So don't wait until January 8th. If you're interested in doing this for your student, register now. We do have early bird pricing going on. So if you register between now and November 15th, 2020, you're automatically going to save $10 off of registration. So sweet. We love to save here. But because you're listening to this podcast, when you register, if you put in the special promo code podcast, you get another 15% off. So we really want to make sure that this is something that parents can incorporate into their students' current academic plan. If they are homeschooling, if they're remote schooling, if they're going into school, but they just need to keep them occupied and want to help them learn these entrepreneurial skills, this can fit in with whatever schedule you have worked out with your student. So just head over to choosefy.com/startup. And that's where you'll see all the details for this term. This is for students 10 to 18. We are trying to limit it to just the US and Canada right now because we actually mail you a copy of the workbook. And we've had some people who've asked for it for other countries and it was just astronomical shipping. But we are working on trying to do that in the future. But for now, US and Canada, 10 to 18, head to choosefy.com/startup. And go and put in that podcast code, get an extra 15% off. And we are going to be so excited to see you in the winter class.
All right, everyone. So lastly, I want to send you off with a point of encouragement. We talked about Joe's story, and what Joe is actually doing is he was sharing with us his weekly win. This is a request from us to you. And I mean you right now listening to this. Are you taking action? If you are, you know your life is better because of it. Don't keep that just to yourself. Share it with us so we can share it with others. This is an important part of this. We're a community of people, imperfect people, taking small actions to build a better life. That's who we are. And we thrive. The reason you're still here is because of the encouragement that you receive both from us, but from other people in this community. Now I'm asking you to be a part of that. Just share what it is that you're doing and how your life has been changed because you leaned in, because you focused on the kittens this week, right? Because you cleared out those alligators. Share it with us. So here's how you do that. Go to choosefy.com/start. There's a very simple form there. Just subscribe to our email list. Once a week, you are going to get a newsletter from us, from Brad. Brad writes it personally, sits down every Monday or Tuesday and writes it and sends it out to the community. and he'll work through an actionable takeaway, something, a personal challenge that he's going through. And regardless of what's on the form down at the bottom, he will ask you, just reply to this email. Share with us, what was the action step that you took this week to make your life better? And in fact, what we were sharing with you with Joe was exactly that, the action that they took. And it actually, not only is it a point of encouragement, it actually informs the show and where the show goes in many, many ways. And what we've actually done, just to say, like, this is fun and we appreciate you doing this, that we've actually added our book drawing back. Chooseify Publishing has 4 or 5 books now, helping people in various stages, second generation financial independence. So how do you raise your kid to do better with money? Helping people figure out their pensions, helping people implement a financial independence game plan, helping people with entrepreneurship and more. There's a lot here. And if you send us your weekly win, we enter you in a drawing to get a free copy of one of these books. And so, you know, I know you don't need that incentive to do this, but we're grateful that you're part of it. And we're grateful that your action is inspiring everybody that's listening to this, you know, following this from now and in the future. And so with that in mind, Brad always calls this the virtuous circle, right? Yeah. Let's put it back into the community. Let me have you go to choosefi.com/start. Get on the list this week and share your wins with us going forward. We get hundreds, if not thousands, of responses every single week. It's the single best day in the Chooseify family just to see the actions that this community is taking each and every week. And with that, Brad, what do you have for us?
Yeah, so obviously we have Joe as one of the book winners, but we've already read his wins, which were fantastic. And the other one we have is from Christian. And this is the perfect example of alligators and kittens, just by sheer happenstance. I had already picked this out days ago, but this is exactly that. So Christian said, I Chooseified my view of the pandemic and all of the life restrictions it forced in our lives by focusing on the positive things it has also made possible, like allowing me to spend more time with my family, giving me time to exercise instead of sitting in a car on my commute to work, encouraging healthier eating habits, and as an added bonus, saving about $4,500 this year in costs from transportation and eating out. All the best and keep the fire burning.
All right, my friends, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth one life hack at a time.